Good morning. Great to see you. Those of you who are here with us and those who have joined us online. Rick, back in the 70s, Rick was taking a stained glass making class. And there he became friends with a guy by the name of Gary. And then he found out that Gary was dating a girl that Rick thought was extremely beautiful. But he's very shy, never said anything, kept his distance, kept his feelings inside, but she was always on his mind. Eventually the class ended, Gary and his girlfriend went their own separate ways from Rick. He never saw them again, but he could not get her out of his mind. So he did what songwriters often do. He took her and that experience and turned it into a song. "But I Wish I Had Gary's Girl" doesn't have quite the same ring as "I Wish I Had Jesse's Girl." That song by Rick Springfield became an 80s classic. You can still hear today on some radio stations. And besides just having a very catchy musical riff, it also tapped into a universal human experience: envy. We've been looking and considering how darkness through sin wants to come in, and then how can we light with a virtue, something that pushes that darkness back. This morning we look at envy and what we can do to push back that envy and bring some light into our world. This envy is a universal experience. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Listen to him include himself in this. He said, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." What makes envy so bad? Envy resents another over what you feel you lack. Richard Smith, PhD, says, "Envy occurs when we lack a desired attribute enjoyed by another." Now, envy differs from jealousy. We often use those words interchangeably, but envy differs from jealousy in that jealousy fears losing something or someone. You might feel envious over somebody's abilities, their capabilities, their looks. It might be any number of things or all of them. But you start to feel jealous if they begin to flirt with your spouse, especially if your spouse flirts back. So are you recognizing that envy in your life anywhere? Are you seeing it? Now, envy is not, I love Jeff's guitar playing. I really do. He's a great guitar player. And I could appreciate that and go, he's a great guitar. I wish I could play guitar like that. Maybe I should try and learn to play guitar or relearn it. But envy comes in when they go, "Who does that Jeff think he is? Flaunting his talent week after week after week." You see the difference? Because here's what we need to understand. Listen to Solomon. He said, "And I saw all the toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind." See, envy might get us trying something, motivating us to do something or to take something. But envy becomes a futile motivator. It really doesn't bring us what we want. We think because we're lacking what someone else has, and if only we had what they had, we'd be happy. We think that's what will happen. But it doesn't work that way. Why? Because as soon as you achieve or possess what someone else has, simply because they have it, your heart will find something else that it wants. We often think that the grass is greener on the other side. But as Irma Bombeck, the writer, pointed out, the grass is always greener over the septic system. You think there's something beautiful there, but there's some nasty stuff underneath there. So if you think, wow, based on envy, and I want, if I go after what somebody else has, what they can do, that's why I want to do it, because of what they have, you'll be disappointed. And your resentment will grow even more. And here's what will happen. Listen to Solomon again. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Unchecked envy will make you sick. Literally, it will make you sick. Neil Burton, MD, says this: over time, our anguish and bitterness may give rise to mental health problems such as depression, anxiety, and insomnia, and physical health problems such as infections, cardiovascular disease, and cancer. He says we are quite literally consumed by envy. So since envy brings such dangerous darkness into our lives, what light can we bring to overcome it? Well, Paul tells us that love rejects envy. Paul says love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And refusing to envy is one way we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. How can we do this? We're going to look at this here in just a few minutes. But one way to help us get in step with the Spirit is to begin kind of just have the Spirit's work on the top of our minds. For a long time, we referred to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost because of the King James translation. So I think if we maybe took some time here and we just sang. Think about the Spirit's work, the Ghost's work in our life, and what He wants to do, who He is, what He wants to offer us. So we begin to find a way to get in step with Him. If you ever did marching band or were in the military and had to march with people and in unison, you know that it was important to keep in step. You know, and every now and then you might have to, if someone pointed out you're out of step, you have to kind of do that little shuffle, and try to get back in there. So how do we do that? How do we do that little shuffle? How do we get back in step with the Spirit when envy shows up? And it will, from time to time, different situations and scenarios. How do we shift our thinking so that we are in step with the Spirit? I think the key is to flip the script on envy. Rather than focus on what other people have and then kind of compare ourselves to that, I think what we can do is learn to practice appreciation. If you want to light a candle in the presence of envy, get a hold of appreciation. Let me show you some examples here. Paul said this to the Corinthian church, and he said this in different ways to a number of all the churches they wrote to. He said, I always thank my God for you because of His grace given to you in Christ Jesus. What's he saying here? When I think about you, I give thanks to God for you. I appreciate you. So what you and I can begin to do, when we hear that voice of envy popping up, coming, you know, just kind of growing there, learn to appreciate the talents, the abilities that other people have, what they bring to the table. When growing up, I didn't inevitably run into somebody who was more talented, had more abilities, better abilities than me. You know, basically every other human being that I'd run into. And like that monster and Alien, you know, I just feel it growing inside of me, wanting to burst out and just make a mess of everything. But somewhere along the line, I figured I was much better off if I shifted my thinking, if I kind of flipped that script and said, you know, okay, this person probably has some things that I could learn from. Rather than being envious of them and trying to tear them down in my own thinking, I could begin to say, okay, well, what could I learn? What could I gain from this person if I would just humble myself and stop trying to compete with them and just learn? Now, I wish I could say that I grew out of that envy trap. I don't think we all do. I think we have to keep coming back to and back to. About 20 years ago, I was in a little preacher's group, and I was told that this young man was going to be preaching at our national conference. Now, I knew this young man. His father was the president of the Bible college where I went to school, so I knew this guy. He was a little crumb cruncher. You know? I didn't know him, but I knew who he was. And that little envy thing came in. Wait a minute. How does this young guy is going to get this national platform thing? They've never asked me. I know that shocks you. And I could feel, and I remember I just made a little snarky comment. Well, yeah, because his dad's the president of the Bible college, you know. And one of the guys, thankfully, just said, no, actually, he's really very good. He's an excellent communicator. Okay. Then I heard him speak. And I was, wow, this guy is a great communicator. Excellent. He just has a way of just doing it and preaches without notes. In fact, the minister that he worked with, a guy by the name of Bob Russell, talks about the story that one of the things he noticed is that he preaches without notes. And even Bob, you know, had a manuscript. In fact, Bob was at a thing, I believe it was Lou Holtz, and found out where he was at. The church said, oh, you're with that young guy, yeah. He preaches without notes. Even Bob, you know, was feeling some of that envy. And it's there. I'm like, okay, what can I learn from this guy? What is this guy bringing to the table? When we can do things like that, we are going to be much better off mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But let's throw another shade of appreciation on this. And that is learning to express our gratitude to people. You know, we can be grateful for people, but we need to learn to be grateful to people, to express it to them. It's Mother's Day, a day that has really kind of morphed into not only recognizing our mothers, but the women in our lives, our wives, our daughters, sisters, friends, coworkers. How can we let them know what they bring to our lives? How can we tell them that we appreciate them? What communicates that appreciation? Last week, I asked for you all, ladies, to share with me what makes you feel appreciated. Let me tell you some of the things that I heard. So one of the things I want to know, what makes you feel appreciated at home? Families, listen up. I feel appreciated at home when someone helps me with the chores. For some reason, I'm not shocked at that. Or when I get a hug and a thank you. Or when family spends time with me, asks my opinion or for my help. Or when I do not have to ask for help, hugs, words of appreciation. When you don't have to ask, they just come. When you take the initiative. Small gifts. Little things that just say, I'm thinking of you, I appreciate you, I'm glad for what you do. Someone said, I feel appreciated when my husband cleans the house when I've been away because he wants me to walk into a clean house. Guys, did you hear that? And I love this one, same person. He takes notice and thanks the laundry fairy when his magic underwear drawer is full. Now we just recognize that. How does this happen? How does it stuff get from dirty to clean into the drawer? There are no fairies involved. Someone does that. Do they know that you see it, that you appreciate it? Someone said words of affirmation for my family, sharing of tasks at home. There's a theme here, isn't this? In there. What about work? Someone says, I feel it, appreciate at work when someone acknowledges my historical knowledge. When you recognize that this person really knows some stuff and brings it to the table. Or then they are thanked using very specific details. You did this and I am thankful for that. And not just as a group, but individually, when you kind of call someone out in a positive way and say, because you did this, we are better off as a company. You made someone's work better. You helped us with the sale, or you helped us with a customer. When you let people know specifically what they did. I asked, what can friends do that make you feel appreciated? Someone has said a random gift or a card. It's very nice. When they include me in conversations, or they let them know that they are grateful that they're in their life, when they spend time together and the words that they share. And you can do this with cards and texts, other ways. Now, how can you make this very specific in your life? What does appreciation look like to the women in your life? Here's the secret. Ask them. What have I ever done that really made you feel appreciated? What can I begin doing that makes you feel appreciated? Now, don't just say, well, thanks for the info and walk on. Implement it. But they're the best person to let you know. Now, ladies, we appreciate you. We have just a small token of that. There are sunflowers and buckets of water out as you walk out through the foyer. Please take one. Please take one and just as a way, maybe hopefully it just brightens your day a little bit, especially on a gloomy day like we have today. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians this important lesson. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances. What's he telling us? Appreciate what you do have. So often, we focus on what we don't have. Especially if we compare ourselves and we see what other people have, and then just the contrast just really bugs us. So learn to appreciate what you do have. How can you do that? Some ideas that I noted. One, create a blessings jar. Just take some time and write down every positive aspect of your life that you can think through. Just each one on its own little piece of paper and put them into this jar. And then when you just are feeling discouraged, underappreciated, feel like your life is just not going the way you want it, take one of those out or two out as you need and just remind yourselves of the positive things in your life, of what you do have going. List positive things in your life, like your job, your friends, your family, fun experiences that you have. Just put it down there so you can refocus your thinking away from what you don't have to what you do have. List the people in your life who love you or like you. Spend less time on social media, that place that just thrives on us comparing ourselves to one another. Educate yourself on the struggles of other people. One great way to appreciate what you do have is to see what other people don't have. Think about our community. Think about our state. Think about a world. Just take some. Right now, in India, where the COVID is just ravaging places, and they don't have enough masks, and they don't have vaccine readily available to them. All these different things that are going on. Think about what they have and then take appreciation for what you do have available to you. Send letters or notes to people in your life. Oftentimes we want to hear them from others, but there's when you want to appreciate what other people are doing or appreciate what you have, make it concrete by sending a note to a person and telling them what they mean to your life. If you happen to find this season in your life very challenging, let me share some words with you written by a friend of mine. Delayed doesn't mean denied. Silence doesn't mean absence. Pain doesn't mean a lack of protection. A dashed dream doesn't mean that you're done. Loss doesn't mean a lack of love. Grief doesn't mean a lack of grace. A closed door doesn't mean you're closed down. An ending doesn't mean the end. Unrealized hopes don't mean you are unseen. Unanswered prayers don't mean you are unheard. Anguish doesn't mean that you're alone. Just because hard times crept in doesn't mean that God slept in. You are seen, you are heard, you are loved, you are not alone. You might take this verse to your heart. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Appreciate that even in the hardest times, you still have a God who loves you. And is working all things out for your good. Let me give you one more thing to appreciate. If we go to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he writes this to a church that was very divided. He said this, just as a body, no one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Folks, see things from God's perspective. Appreciate God's perspective. And what is his perspective? That we are not intended to be exactly the same. That the variety of talents, abilities that is out there make this life rich. Notice our band here just for a moment. It's not all guitar players. It's not all the bass. It's not all just the drums. It's not just the vocals. All of those elements work together to create something richer than just one unique part. And that's what God sees. So instead of looking around and going, well, why am I not this and why am I not that and why don't I have this? Look to God and say, God, you've made me. I have learned things in this life. I have innate abilities, but I've also picked up skills along the way. Show me how you can use me. Help me to stop taking my, or just help me to take my eyes off of other people where envy wants to slink around in the shadows. Put my eyes on you, Father, and ask you, what do you want me to do? What can I bring to this life to make my little corner of the world richer, brighter with life. I want you to think for a few moments about the other people in your life right now. I want you to think about them, whether they're family, coworkers, other people. Maybe you might even have somebody in your mind that you're a little envious of right now. And think about these words. In Numbers, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how they are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." What if you made that a prayer over any person that you feel envious about? What if you made this a prayer for anyone you need to show appreciation to? To make this a prayer of blessing. Let's go back and let's do another round. And I want you to just get someone in your mind. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a friend, coworker. Maybe it's somebody you're really struggling with right now. Let's say this together, and you just have this in your mind. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Somebody has taken this and made a song out of it. Let's sing that. Why don't you just think about the different people in your life and pray this over them as you sing this. Pray this over the people in this auditorium together, the people who are in the living room with you right now. Let's be a blessing to other people. Let's find the blessing that other people are to us rather than being envious. Let's learn to appreciate. Let's stand, let's sing.